We read together in Psalm 127 in the scriptures of the Old Testament. Psalm 127, a psalm which would be sung by pilgrims on their way to Jerusalem to celebrate some of the great Jewish festivals. Psalm 127. Unless the Lord builds the house, its builders labour in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchmen stand guard in vain. In vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for he grants sleep to those he loves. Sons are a heritage from the Lord, children a reward from him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are sons born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their enemies in the gate. Thanks be to God for his word, and may he give us grace to embrace his truth in our hearts. Let us pray. God our Father, we ask for grace to be able to turn our whole inner being towards your Spirit at this time, that you might bring your truth to rest in our hearts, and that that might be the inspiration that we need to persevere in the faith, to continue on this sometimes challenging pilgrimage, so that at the end we may know the completeness and the joy of your heavenly home. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. One of our newspapers had an interesting article just a few days ago. Friends, a group of writers were asked to ask themselves questions that journalists never ask them. You know, have you got that? They were asked to ask themselves questions that journalists never ask them and to respond to these questions. And it was really quite revealing to see the kinds of things that these writers would like to talk about but are never asked, but perhaps even more revealing to see the kinds of questions that they're never asked but they're quite glad that they're never asked, those questions that they would rather not face up to. And I believe that very often when we're reading the Bible, it's questions of the latter kind that we sometimes have to contend with. Questions that perhaps we are seldom asked personally, and we never ask ourselves, but in reading God's Word, we're sometimes forced to face them. And I think that this, on the surface, short and, dare I say, innocuous psalm, once you consider it, take time to ponder on it, there are questions here which are extremely challenging, indeed certainly to my soul. It's a psalm that's familiar to those who ever attended weddings. You know, unless the Lord builds the house, its builders labour in vain. But of course, sometimes parts of the scripture can become so familiar that we really are never touched by the challenge that they pose for us. And when you pause to think about the background of this psalm and to pick up the voice beneath the words, then there is something there which, if we grasp it, really shall never leave us unchanged. It's a two-way dynamic going on with parts of scripture like this, which Ken touched on this morning. You know, we find ourselves looking into the Bible, perhaps just doing our usual morning or evening devotions, and suddenly what we find is that the Word is looking into us and challenging us at many different levels. And so I find a number of questions in this psalm that are rarely asked, that I perhaps rarely ask myself, but that I need to face up to more than I do. Actually, what's going on in this psalm is getting in touch with what makes us all tick. as human beings. It's asking questions about our ambitions. It's asking questions about where we find our security. And it's asking questions about the balance that we have in our lives between our work, our leisure, and our devotion to God. The first question is quite clear to me. The question is, are we ambitious for the Lord? If we consider that we are all people who have ambitions of some kind or another, are we ambitious for the Lord our God? You know, pilgrims used to sing this psalm when they were making the journey up to Jerusalem for at least one of the three main Jewish festivals that people were required to observe. The three festivals were Passover in the springtime, Pentecost in summer, and Tabernacles or Booths in the autumn. And it was always the ambition of any devout Jew to be in Jerusalem for at least one occasion in their lives, whenever one of these great festivals was celebrated. And it could be a long journey for some of them. I mean, if you just take the example of Jesus traveling from Nazareth to Jerusalem, as the crow flies, it was 60 miles, but the journey that he would take would be something like 90 miles. And that would take something like 4 to even 5 days over rough and very unforgiving terrain. And when you've made that journey, when you've had the perseverance, the endurance, the patience to make that journey to go to Jerusalem, the first sight of the temple on top of Mount Zion must have been a great moment. There it was on the top of the mountain with its white marble walls, and the sun reflecting off the walls and sending the beam out, which was famous throughout Israel. What a sight that must have been when you catch that moment which tells you that the journey is almost at an end. You see the temple, but at the same time, you're reminded that this temple was not just the work of any one man. It wasn't there just to glorify Solomon. This temple was there to glorify God. It was God's idea. God inspired the workmen. God enabled people to gather the materials together. And so it's appropriate at this point in time to sing with the rest of your fellow travelers, "Unless the Lord builds the house, its builders labour in vain." If it wasn't for God, then that great building would not be standing at the top of Mount Zion as a symbol of God's presence in the midst of his people. And I believe also when people were singing this together and remembering how God had inspired this great building, they would also be reminded that no great achievement in life could ever be accomplished unless the Lord was behind it. Unless the Lord builds the house, its builders labour in vain. There might have been a temptation at the end of this pilgrimage, which was to glorify God, to glorify themselves, and to say, "Well, we've done well travelling 90 odd miles, 100 miles, 150 miles. We're strong people. We persevere. We keep going. We've got the stamina." But as they sang these words, they were reminded that they were only able to do this because of the Lord's strength. "Unless the Lord builds the house, its builders labour in vain." This was a corrective to self-congratulation. This was a corrective to those who would pat themselves on the back for all their great human qualities. Nothing good is ever achieved apart from the Lord. And that gives us a good and a necessary perspective on all human achievement. You know, one of those writers who was asked to ask himself questions that he's never asked, was a fellow called Chang Ray Lee that I'd never heard of, but apparently he's a Korean writer who lives in the United States. And strangely enough, he said that no one ever asks him if he believes in a deity. No one has ever asked him if he believes in a deity. And on balance, he would say that he doesn't believe in a deity. But you see, even with a man like that, I would say that his ability to write and to touch people's hearts and to articulate thoughts that challenge people at different levels, that ability comes from God, whether he recognizes it or not. John Calvin, the reformer, used to talk about common grace. There are things in life which are gifts only to those who believe in God, but there are other gifts which God gives to all men and women. And something like the gift that Chang Ray Lee has is part of common grace. It's a gift that is given to all men and women. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labour in vain. But there's a message here also, specifically for believing people like you and me. Because if it is a vain enterprise to engage in anything unless the Lord is involved, then we have to ask ourselves, how far do we acknowledge God in all the projects and in all the plans that we have for our lives? You know, my mother had a habit of saying that she was going to do something next week or next month if we're spared. You know, that was always her mantra. If we're spared, I'll do this, I'll do that. And that is a recognition that we can't just depend on human resources. We can't just depend on our own ingenuity to bring things to a good end. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labour in vain. So do we pray about the projects that we undertake in the church? And do we continue to pray for God's strength to see these projects through in the end, so that in the end, everything is done for the glory of God? You see, that's a mistake that the people of Israel made so often in the Old Testament when they rushed into battle to defend their own honour, to establish their own place in the world. And they didn't inquire of God whether this battle was necessary. And at the end, they were dismayed when God didn't uphold their cause. But God made it quite clear that unless they inquired of him, he would not honour their projects. So do we rush into things sometimes without taking time to pray? And when things get going, do we forget the one from whom all success will flow? Remember a few weeks ago in our morning service, we were thinking of Jesus in prayer all night, turning his whole inner being before God, before he chose the 12 men who would share his work. Even Jesus turned to God for the success of his project. If that is the same for Jesus, it certainly must be the same for us. It's only then that we can be sure that everything is done for the glory of God. See, I think that this was what Paul is speaking about in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, where he speaks of how the souls of every believer are safe. But do we realise that the work that we undertake for God will be judged in the end? And Paul says, if any man builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay or straw, his work will be shown for what it is, because the day of judgment will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. If what he has built survives, he will receive his reward. If it's burned up, he will suffer loss. He himself will be saved, but only as one escaping through the flames. You know, it's quite a thought to be standing before God with your work before you, and it being tested, and it not surviving because there was little of God in it in the first place. It wasn't done for his glory. It wasn't begun in his will. Are we ambitious for the Lord? Unless the Lord builds the house, its builders labor in vain. And the second question is, are we enjoying the security of the Lord? Because the pilgrims traveling along would sing also, unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchmen stand guard in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchmen stand guard in vain. You know, these pilgrimages could be pretty hazardous. I mean, even in modern days, when you're riding a bike over the Negev Desert, that can be pretty hazardous. But in those days, there were the bandits, as well as the rough roads. There were the animals. There were so many things that would hold people back on this once-of-a-lifetime journey. And when you reach the end of the journey and you see the temple on top of the hill, again, there would perhaps be this temptation to congratulate yourself. Well, we saw off these bandits, and we negotiated the rough roads. Nobody fell, nobody broke any bones. And at night time, we managed to keep the animals away from the camp. We've done well. But then they remind themselves at the end of it all, unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stand guard in vain. There are more than just ourselves at the end of a challenging journey, more than just ourselves to thank for our security. We have to give thanks to God that we've been kept safe. And this is something that we need to allow to run right the way through our lives, because security is something that we all value. We want our finances to be secure. We even put money into securities. And my goodness, we've found out in recent days how insecure these things can be. But we want these things to be sure. We want our health to be secure. We want our work to be secure. There are so many things that we want to depend on throughout all our days. And the psalmist is saying to us that we can arrange these things to a certain extent, but there comes a point where we have to acknowledge that ultimately our security in this life and in the next comes from God. He even speaks of sons being a heritage from God, verses 3 to 5. You know, if you had loads of sons in those days, then, you know, nobody pushed you around because you had your boys to depend on, a bit like Ben Cartwright in Bonanza, you know, or Vito Corleone in The Godfather. You know, nobody messed with you if your quiver was full of sons. I sometimes have caused to question that myself, but never mind. You know, that was your security, to have all of these guys around you to protect you. But the psalmist is saying that even that kind of security comes from God. You can't just say, I've done well to surround myself with all this muscle. If you have that security, then it comes from God. And where God is concerned, we're very soon turned to eternal things, aren't we? And even thanking God for our security in this life, if we have it, then we have to think about the eternal security that God brings us as men and women who have been touched by the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And none of us reading the scriptures could ever say that we are promised a trouble-free life as we go on our journey of faith in this time of our lives. None of us is promised that we'll be trouble-free. But what is promised, and what we need to take our stand upon tonight, friends, is that we are promised protection from anything that threatens to bring our souls down into darkness and despair. What we are promised, the security that we are promised in the gospel, is that we can endure times of guilt and moral failure. We can endure disappointments in our lives with regard to finances, with regard to our health, with regard to family problems. We can even endure the loss of people who have been very dear to us, or to face the prospect of death ourselves, knowing that the Lord is watching over us and that our souls are safe with Him. You know, I was thinking about the author of a couple of well-known hymns, Horatio Spafford, who wrote many a hymn in the 19th century which has endured. He was a friend of Moody and Sankey. He was a well-respected lawyer. He had a wealthy practice, but the amount of trouble that this man had in his life was just astonishing. He lost a son aged 4 years old, and then in a great fire of Chicago, a lot of property that he had invested in was just wiped out. His wife and four daughters went on a cruise to Europe. He was going to join them later on. The ship was wrecked. The four daughters were drowned. And it was while he was on a ship sailing to meet his wife who had gone on to England that he wrote words which have been a great comfort to so many people down through the years. He said, "When peace like a river attendeth my soul, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, you have taught me to say, it is well with my soul." Imagine that man in the cabin going to meet the wife who's just lost four daughters and being able to express your faith like that. It is well with my soul. So whenever you fail and you're conscious of failing and the guilt is threatening to overwhelm you, remember that Jesus has died for you and say, "It is well with my soul." And whenever there's been disappointment, bad news about your health, troubles in the family, the kind of thing that makes you feel you don't want to get outside and meet anybody, remember the promises that you're given in the Word. Promises of God's presence with you and His good purpose, working through every circumstance, and say, "It is well with my soul." And when you come up against the biggest challenge, when folk very, very close to you are taken away, when they pass on, or if you yourselves are feeling that fragility that comes whenever you contemplate your death, remember that on Easter morning the tomb was empty, and say to yourself, "It is well with my soul." Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stand guard in vain. The Lord is watching over your soul. Are you ambitious for the Lord? Are you enjoying the security of the Lord? And in the end, are you living in the rhythm of the Lord? Verse 2, a little bit odd perhaps when you think of these other things we've been considering. But the psalmist says, in vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for he grants sleep to those he loves. Now, why is that there? Well, I think, you know, human nature being what it is, there would be a bit of competitiveness would come into the pilgrimage. Right, well, we're here 3 years ago and we did it in 4 days. Let's do it in three. And that old Jacob down the road, he did it in four days last year. So we're going to do it in three. Family honour's at stake here. You know, let's get busy. And there might have been a prospect of human eagerness, pushiness, affecting the spiritual benefits which were supposed to come from pilgrimage and arriving in the holy city. This fretful, obsessive pushiness to get there, just to get there and say you've been there, rather than benefiting from the whole process of journeying to the holy city. And so the psalmist says, in vain you rise early and stay up late toiling for food to eat, for he grants sleep to those that he loves. You know, the Bible honours hard work. It honours perseverance and people who can bash on and not count the cost. But what the Bible does not honour, and which our Lord Jesus Christ had no time for, was this anxious toil, where we can proudly proclaim ourselves workaholics, but leaves us with absolutely no time to reflect on God and appreciate his blessings. That was the whole purpose of the pilgrimage. To be able to reflect upon God. You know, when we do our walk of witness on Good Friday in Mogae, we do it in silence, so that we can think while we're walking, so that we can pray while we're walking. That was the whole point of pilgrimage. And if you have any other motives that are crowding in to your mind and your heart, then the whole benefit of the thing is destroyed. It's the principle of Sabbath, which we were talking about not that long ago. Not that you desist from doing absolutely everything on the Lord's Day, but that you give God a place. And realize that in giving God a place on his special day to listen to his word and to reflect upon his being, then that does us the ultimate good. You know, there was a story some years ago, it's quite a while ago now, and there was an English Premiership football match being played in Birmingham. And the stadium was just round the corner from a parish church. The kickoff was to be at 11 o'clock, the kickoff for the match, not the service. But it conflicted. It clashed with the service, and the vicar made representation to the powers that be. It fell on deaf ears. The match was going ahead. So the vicar decided that for the 90 minutes that the match was being played, he would ring his church bells as a protest against this. And I admire that, because I think there's a warning in those bells that were ringing. There's a warning to people that unless a place is found for God in the rhythm of your life, then it will begin to tell. That's what the bells were ringing out on that day. And again, returning to the image of the sons that are a heritage from the Lord. You know, that's a reminder that it was very, very deeply ingrained in the mindset of all Jewish people that it wasn't just two people who produced a new life. There was something mysterious in the creation of life which could only be attributed to God. And so everything in life that is good, we give thanks to God for, but we also have to remember to give him his place if we are at all concerned about the quality of our lives. And if we're concerned about the quality of our lives, then the principle of Sabbath will be cherished. In the end, we come round full circle in the psalm, because this is how we work for the Lord, and this is how we enjoy our eternal salvation, by giving room for God in our lives and reflecting on his goodness and his love. Unless the Lord builds the house, its builders labour in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchmen stand guard in vain. Let's pray. God our Father, thank you for all your blessings. And what we ask tonight is that we would be constantly reviewing our lives, asking ourselves the questions that arise from your word, so that we might continue in harmony with your will, working for your glory and enjoying your peace. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.